Blog Talk Radio.
Kidnapped, was taken with lies. CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped. Here was all for the cash, a foster kid, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids were kidnapped. Here was all for the cash, my kids were kidnapped. Here was all for the cash, my kids were kidnapped. Here was taken with lies.
It started with the way I looked, progressed to how I carried it. They couldn't stand a man like me, could understand what marriage is. Provided for my wife, and this the way that I inherited. Mama raised a man who don't know nothing but genetics. How can they just come and take what's mine and I ain't caught a check? Never had a GPS, still my life is stripped away. Fighting for my life, the parents, I got cancer on my face. See through all your bullshit, I'll be the one you love to hate. Fuck you motherfuckers, I'll be lying, taking people's shit. Breaking up a happy home, cause y'all don't like the way we long as we provide no abuse, then y'all should mind your business. We're fucking up our right to live, you motherfucking know me, bitch. Tired, I can take your motherfucker, I'm a bear with all. Lawyer, they appointed me, never even took my call. They falsified my court string, flat out lying at it all. All this shit is covered for, but they ain't gotta follow law.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. DPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kids, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies. CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped, it was all for the cash, of course the kids, childbirth, man, this shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped, they was taken with lies. CBS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped. It was all for the cash, of course the kid, child ring, man, this shit is all bad. My kids are kidding me.
Come on, tell me, do y'all feel my pain? Watch my wife cry themselves to sleep, and I can do a thing. On the verge of losing it, swear I'm about to go insane. Praying that I have the strength to make it through another day. Can't begin to understand all the shit my kids go through. The pain they feel of what they think for real is all they've been through. Snatch away, waste your friends, and broke me when I heard the news. Rotting in the prison cell, shit that I ain't even do. The fight is real, we won't stop, but all the kids are coming home. Playing games so they ain't know the game, I'm with the king of thrones. Lawyered up, got a pitiful picture, now this shit is on. Need to take my family back and trust me, we don't stand alone. Get you here for everyone, it's over what we're going through. Be a voice for all of y'all, the pain y'all feel, I feel it too. Ditches for me, complicated, pushing hard to make it new. All the tricks, y'all, there's a hope, damn, it's one for you, kid, yeah.
You know, I ain't the only one that's going through this shit. There's a million other people like me in every city, every state. All across this fucking nation. These people are kidnapping our kids. This foster care shit. Man, motherfuckers need to get it together and go up against this shit before it's too late. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You guys probably know somebody that's going through this shit, man. Y'all gotta stick together. If we stand together, we can end all this bullshit, man. I'm telling you. Kidnapped.
That sounds good.
Red like it did. Welcome to the Rocky and Bullwinkle Show with Chaco, the Mighty Chihuahua. We have Katrina Bear, who's going to be operating the I Love
Turn
Lucy
your thing
call.
Up, would you please?
Please mute your lines. And everyone should mute when you're not talking. So, Kathleen is going to discuss the Lollapalooza, which is a notice of liability and an executive order that backs it up. And it revolves around the one red marble and the supporting yellow marble, which is a theory that most people have looked at least, and they want to maybe understand it, but it does take time to understand it. But the executive order and the notice of liability and the Lollapalooza do not have a requirement for the one red marble and supporting the yellow marble, something that the user would either add or not add. And then once you add that, you can discuss what the requirements are. So the show format is it's the I Love Lucy show. We're going to have Lucille Ball, who's Kathleen. Fred Mertz is Rebecca. Mertz is Lisa. And they are what we would consider natural person doctrine. So they have no requirements to use a Bork formula or to use moot court rules or Borg kindergarten rules. None of these apply to the natural person doctrine. But Ricky and Ricardo and Woodstock, who are myself is Ricardo and Ricky is Phoenix and Woodstock is Brent Tyler Gurney, and they are required to use a Borg formula to provide the memorandum points of authorities and case law related to the Lollapalooza, which is defined in the I Love Lucy show herein. And we have Kathleen Hebert, who's going to lead us today and discuss for us the notice of liability and the executive order. Are you there, Kathleen? Kathleen, if you can unmute your phone. Anyway, so we also will have...
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So there's a little bit when you came in, there was a little bit of... I'm not sure, echo or something. But so... Yeah, there is definitely an echo. Oh, you know what it is? I think it's... You're on both the back channel, so you have to end the back channel call.
Let me call back in.
You have to end the back channel call.
All right.
Yeah, so you have to end the back channel call. And then, so we want to discuss, last week we discussed the Lollapalooza, which is defined as executive order and notice of liability. And what we want to do is get people together who want to join with Kathleen in the Lollapalooza. And I believe there's some good benefits. I'm not sure yet all of the, we don't have actual material yet. Kathleen is Lucy and she's going to be the guinea pig, or she's going to implement her Lollapalooza in Ohio on her birthday on September 10th. And basically she wants to submit the Lollapalooza in Ohio. And we will monitor the progress of what is happening. And I think that we're going to see good benefit, at least from what I can see. So, Kathleen, maybe you can tell us a little bit more, Kathleen, about the Lollapalooza and what your plans are.
The Lollapalooza.
We're going to call it a Lollapalooza. Is that okay?
It seems like that's what it is.
Well,
a Lollapalooza.
There's nothing wrong with a name. A name is a name. Your name is code name Lucy,
My code's Charlie. Lucy went out.
Well,
she's gone.
Well, hold on.
Charlie
Brown is a Borg term, so you would have to be a Borg to be a Charlie Brown.
How about Charlie
Brown? The only way
there?
You would not be a Borg in Charlie Brown if you were a Lucy Van Pelt, and then you would be a natural person doctrine. And then there would be no requirement for a Borg formula whatsoever. But if you were a Borg, then you would have all of these requirements. Because you would be what's called illegal. See, there's two groups of people here. One is a lawful, which is a natural person doctrine. That's how the judge, when you walk in... And if you don't have a Borg formula, they're going to look at you as a natural person doctrine. So they're going to look at you as a natural person. Now, when a Borg enters the courtroom, they only do it through the proper procedure using the legal format. So it's purely legal. There's no emotional ties. There's no, discussion in natural person English language. You would have no requirement for any of that. it would be purely natural person doctrine. I mean, would you agree with that?
Would you say that the natural person doctrine is what we say when we stand on the Constitution and there's a sovereign citizen doctrine that the Borg has a legal term for people who stand on the ground as a Constitution? That the Borg formula has a lot to do with the statutes and nothing to do with the Constitution? So the Borg has separated the people from the public servants, basically.
Well, I mean, to answer your question, the public servant needs to serve the people. Okay. I mean, there's more than one question here. And to answer your question, I would say the following, that the wise man, who we know, you know, could be considered a Borg. Because if you look at his documents, they have 100% Borg formula. It's memorandum. It's points of authorities. You know, he knows the Constitution backwards and forwards and can quote, you know, large passages of, you know, Federalist Papers, and he can discuss the Constitution at a very deep level. You know, a natural person is not required to do that.
Right.
Kind of like, do you remember that show, Goodwill Hunting, where, you know, Will is like a savant, and he basically goes to court, and he gets himself out of trouble all the time. He gets off because he knows the Constitution, he knows the law, and he knows how to quote it, like, off the top of his head without even, and he never even carries a piece of paper. He just does it all in his head. That's what the wise man is. He's like Goodwill Hunting. He's basically can quote the whole Constitution from his head. Now, someone like that, that's a Borg formula, but it's revolving around the Constitution. Whereas someone who speaks in the natural person English language doesn't have a requirement. Remember, it's the difference between a lawful and a legal.
Yes. When the legals are attacking the people for us to defend and go in there and explain ourselves, seems to be the beginning of the problem. When we explain ourselves in their statutes, now we have to defend ourselves. When we go in and ask, what statute is it that we have violated one of us people with? Because there has to be an injured party before they can use our statutes against us.
And I agree with you that there is corruption. I fully agree.
The public servants are meant to serve the people, but because they put statutes in order that allow people to be called criminals if you breach one of their codes, that's an unlawful act. So when we people go in there innocent and we say we want a jury trial and can't get one, they just use their statutes to dominate the real world. And those statutes are based on fiction. The legals agree to fiction so that they can make their profits. But people, unless you've injured somebody, you are free to, at liberty, to grow and experiment and expand every direction you can to improve the world. But the legals got everybody tripped up in all these codes. That's their Borg system. All those codes that tell us we're criminals before we get there. Probable cause is an affidavit of an injured party. And the prosecutor hasn't been injured, the police officer hasn't been injured, and the judge hasn't been injured. So unless there's an opposing party who claims to be injured, I would give them 10 minutes to produce the injured party. Otherwise, it's a moot court with no purpose.
Well, I fully agree.
Rebecca
with
was
you.
Like a savant. Rebecca was like a savant when she went to court.
I just want to comment to one thing. That, you know, she used the Borg formula, And then she did an actual person document after that. That she used the Borg formula initially. And then...
Well, you could ask, for that if you want.
Doctor.
But she actually challenged the jurisdiction right off the bat. Asked him, what corporation is your salary? How can you operate here?
Now, that's called a natural
court?
Person doctrine. That's called a natural person doctrine. That is part of the natural person doctrine, which does not use a Borg formula.
Right, it canceled the Borg formula out because they released her.
No, I agree.
Without a restraint.
I fully agree. I mean, she used both the natural person doctrine after she used the Borg formula.
What Borg formula was there?
I didn't use anything.
Well, if you remember, we talked prior to the trial, and I told you, go directly to trial. Tell them you're trial ready. On the basis that no alleged social worker exists. That's the Borg formula.
What statute comes from the Borg formula to show that if there's no injured party, there's no cause?
Well, no injured party is a cause of action. So, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't part of the Borg formula. The Borg formula was strictly this. We're trial ready and no social worker exists. So, bring us to trial because there is no social worker, Your Honor.
Well, I was already going to trial.
Repeat, please.
So I didn't have time to wait for them to figure out what they were doing.
Yeah, she was there for an arraignment, and they went straight to trial. She wasn't prepared at all. So she asked them, who pays your salary? What corporation
but
do you
But she basically won.
Yeah, the first question before I went and said anything, that was the first question before the court hearing even started, period. What corporation do you work for, buddy?
Now, here's what I would recommend, if I may. This is what I would recommend. I would have recommended strictly stating the following. I'm trial ready. No social worker exists. And I wouldn't have said anything else. Now, this is what a Borg formula looks like. However, what you did was you used a natural person doctrine, which is different, but you succeeded.
If I may, a natural person doctrine is something different. That's still a legal term. When natural people speak, that is the law. If we have not hurt anyone, we are to be left alone, according to our Constitution. When the officer or the prosecutor or the judge or an attorney says you have to come in here and talk to the Borg, you have to have your papers in a row because you're a person, a natural person. That's a legal term. People are natural. Persons and individuals are legal terms that the legals use to trick us into tacit agreements. But we are people. Their person is what they want to grab hold of, the person. The documented paperwork of the person is what they're relying on. But they're fraud. When they're attacking people and the people didn't hurt somebody else, one of the people, they're fraud on their face. Now that there's so many of them known as fraud, for us to have an attorney, the attorney will talk about one red marble, but that's not the extent of the case. The justice system, somebody has to mute their background, please. The justice system is meant to make people whole again. If you're damaged, you can go in and settle it. The dispute has to have another person, one of us people at the other side of it. It can't be the legals who are attacking the people and getting away with it. Our Constitution gives them their position to serve and protect, not to attack. So the one red marble that an attorney will use.
I can say this, I just do commentary from the back channel, you know, that when Rebecca went to court, my instructions were strictly make the following statement. Trial ready, no social worker exists. Nothing else needed to be said. And that would have been the only thing and take it right to trial. You would have won. But Rebecca started off with natural person doctrine, which this is a strategy. Remember, this is the art of war. This is, in my opinion, an art form. It is art. It is not a science. We cannot determine whether one was better or one was worse. All we can have is our opinion. My opinion was that Rebecca should merely state the following words. I'm trial ready. No social worker exists. Now, the judge would understand this 100%. As a matter of fact,
if I may,
he asked.
Yes, the natural person doctrine protected her, as you're calling it a natural person doctrine. She spoke as herself. She was not representing herself. She spoke as herself, and if it would have worked, she would have had her children back. What it did was it kept her from having a restraining order, but the fraud that was trying to restrain her has stolen her children 8 years ago. She has not seen her children in 8 years because of the one who was accusing her. She should have had her children back on that day for him lying and saying that there was a caseworker that said she's going around town being crazy looking for her children. She's not. She's very stable. She has had a job and a place for them to live. The legal system is such fraud, it's keeping her children from her and accusing her of being looking for them. And that if that legal doctrine would work at all, she should have had her children back on that day. What you say?
Okay. I put my comments in the back channel. I'll tell you what I think they are once you're done. But my comment is this, that Rebecca, being a natural person, spoke to the court as a natural person. Now,
no,
when they
as herself. No, not
well,
as a natural person. She spoke as herself. She is a people, not a person of the legal fiction. The legal fiction has persons and individuals as corporations. That's what they are. They're asserting with this legal person doctrine that she is a person of the legal system who requires control because she's a person, and that's artificial being. Person and individual are both artificial beings. People are real, living, breathing, speaking things that don't represent themselves. They speak as themselves. So a natural person doctrine is like a sovereign citizen doctrine. It's a fiction of their legal system. It's not a real thing. They have it all wrapped up because they get uppercase and lowercase letters on their documents. That isn't who we are. We breathe. We speak it. We draw our sword and use our pens. We don't represent each other or ourselves. We speak as ourselves. There's a big difference when you're talking in the legal sense. If you call yourself a person, you're already one of them that needs to be controlled. People
okay.
are different than
so
persons. Do you agree?
Can I raise my objection now?
Sure.
Can I raise my objection?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So I'm just going to raise my objection, which I feel is valid.
Possibly.
There's a difference. There's a difference. And I put it on the back channel. But there is a difference between what we call natural person doctrine and sovereign citizen doctrine. And you said this is not sovereign citizen, so I agree with you. As to this is not a sovereign citizen doctrine, yes, I agree. But the thing is that this is different from a natural person doctrine. They're not the same. And if I can tell, if you want, I can tell you why they're different.
Yeah, is there a code for that?
Yes, there is.
Natural person?
Well,
do you have a number?
It's called a legal doctrine, so there's a whole body of code that goes along with it. There's case law, there's local statutes, there's local rules of civil procedure, there's many, 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 lots of doctrine related to this. The two doctrines are very different in one way. The sovereign citizen doctrine says that you're a sovereign and that the judge has no jurisdiction over you. That's the basic premise of a sovereign citizen doctrine. It uses the words a citizen who is sovereign. Well, this, you know, is discussed in the Roger Rabbit case format. And it's basically discussed in the basis that they claim that he was somehow using the sovereign citizen doctrine. And they use those two words together, sovereign citizen. Now, Roger has never actually used that. I can prove it in a court of law through 10,000 pages of documents that Roger Rabbit never stated this. I've known him for 3 years, and I know he never stated this to me over a three-year period. And I would be on a high alert for something said in that way. If he said something and used the words sovereign coupled with citizen, I would freak out. I would say, well, you know, do you want to discuss this a little further? Now, that's never happened. And he never used the natural person doctrine either. They're two different doctrines. And I'll tell you how a judge looks at this. When you walk into a courtroom, a judge will look at you as multiple facets. One facet, one perspective, would be that you're the attorney in fact for yourself. Now, that's an option to you. If you want to take it, it's your option. You can use that and state, well, Your Honor, I'm representing myself in this court matter. I am representing the sacrificial lamb or the natural person. The natural person in most of these cases would be considered a what you would call a natural person.
No.
That person.
No. No.
Right. Objection.
A doctor. I have it here as the judicial meaning of natural person is related with determination if the juridical personality is the necessary consequence of its quality as a human being, in a sense that the judicial personality of an individual does not derive from its human existence.
No.
It's a legal entity, not a human existence.
This is not the Flintstones.
It's in the back channel.
Well,
this is not a human that we're talking about.
I can tell you this. I'll break it down a little simpler for you. If I may, break it down a little simpler for you.
Please.
Anytime I would work with someone using a Borg formula, they would have to disconnect themselves from their natural person. Because the natural person does not have to use moot court rules, is not bound by the court's law, and
you guys okay?
Go ahead. Someone wanted to interject something. Okay. I would prefer that if you want to interject, please put your commentary into the file so it can be viewed while the statement is being made, but wait until the statement is made. To continue, there is a difference between natural person doctrine and sovereign citizen doctrine. Your comment. Next question. So next question, please. There is a difference between a lawful and a legal. We discussed that in prior shows. You know, the wise man is constitutionally accurate in a Borg formula. You're asking to develop a Borg formula for your example.
For the executive order, yes.
What's that?
Yes, for the executive order.
Well, it would be applied to an actual test case. You would be the guinea pig.
That's what we're doing. So the Borg formula, the executive order is the top Borg formula because all the statutes rely on the Constitution, and the Borg formula says all public servants found in corruption are to have their properties, assets, and accounts frozen. So when we find them in fraud, finding them in corruption means that we have to file our truth statement, which is the affidavit. And when we have more than one, it holds more weight. So when we stand for each other as reasonable minds and declaratory witnesses, then we have a jury of our own. If we have enough people to stand for us and we become the jury, then we're ready to go to trial. But if we go in there and we don't bring our jury with us, that is, there's no trial. There's no grand jury and there's no petit jury when you get into the legal system. They just don't do that unless you've killed somebody. And if you did kill somebody or kidnap them, it takes years to process their legal jargon. Whereas if I didn't kill somebody or kidnap somebody, I am at liberty. And if I bring my jury to dispose of those fraud cases, I get to remove them from their bench for being fraud in that process. That's the constitutional law.
Yes. You know, I guess I agree with you that all of that applies. All of
Thank
it applies.
You. Thank you.
The only thing is, I would say that there is some basic holes in the theory, possibly.
Looking for wise
counsel. From a Borg formula. Please repeat.
I say I'm looking for wise counsel. That's why I talk to you, Chaco.
Well, here's the thing. When looked at from a Borg formula, right? If you were to establish formula, and that's what's going to happen. So if you go down this route, that's what would take place. You would establish a Borg formula. But then, once you establish a Borg formula, well, you're dangerously close to being illegal. Wouldn't that be true?
Well, I am not admitting to being illegal. Legals get paid to represent people. And the prosecutor has a full-time job security if he fails to give us a jury trial. My prosecutor in 1990 refused my jury 116 times, and he is now a common pleas judge. My judge, the first judge I went before, I was beaten bloody in the jail for the weekend, and he said, a jury trial, put her back in jail till she'll cooperate without the jury. That was in 1990. He's now a federal judge, and I'm pretty sure he didn't get back to the Constitution in the meantime to hold his position. If we don't hold the Constitution sacred, we got nothing to work with as people. The legals, they've got every corporate charter mapped out that serves the people. And they're all about profit.
To a large extent, I agree. You know, the formula that you have, that I've seen so far, it looks to be somewhat sound. It has what I would consider merit. So, yes, I think that you have, to some degree, you have standing. That doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't holes in the formula. Would you agree?
Correct.
I mean, what
red,
you're looking to do.
Red marble.
What you're looking to do is to fill those gaps, right?
Yeah. I want to make sure I've got all of the ducks in a row, all the process correct. I'm not going in there to hurt anybody. I want to make sure that I'm doing it correct. And it seems.
Well,
and
my question
like,
is.
Yes.
My question is, you want to fill in the gaps. That's my understanding.
Yes. Yes. Do you see the gaps?
So,
can you help?
So to fill in those gaps, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to build a Borg formula. That's what has to happen. Without a Borg formula, your reading would be in English, and the court will not accept English. I mean, if you walk up to a sheriff and say, you know, we're going to go and, you know, we're going to give this notice of liability to a judge and we're going to do this and that. And then you give him a piece of paper in English. Do you think the sheriff is going to use it as law against the judge?
I'm hoping to see that.
Well,
my truth
I'm
is
asking
valid
you
as another truth. Yes, I do.
Well,
yes, I do.
What I'm asking you for more of a red-yellow answer. You know, a red-yellow answer would be, you know, one is more likely, 80%, or less likely, 20%. So I'm asking you, would you be more likely or less likely to agree with the statement? Now, here's the difference. If you were to look at it strictly from a Borg formula, not, again, we're not looking at it from an English language point of view. We're just using a formula. And if we were to look at that formula, what we would find is that a Borg, someone who uses the legal format, would state the following. That, well, no, the sheriff would not. Based on law, I mean, based on what we know, most likely, if you walk into a sheriff and tell him that you're going to serve a judge, you know, if they're nice to you, they'll say, don't do it. They won't tell you anymore. They'll just tell you, please don't do it. They won't get into a whole discussion with you. They won't tell you anything. But if you try in any way to approach that judge, he'll arrest you. Point blank. No discussion. He would just produce an arrest. And that's it. He wouldn't discuss it with you. He would not give you any opportunity to have some sort of a discussion about it. I'm stating that's what a judge would do. What do you think? I mean,
yeah,
what do you say?
Discussion
you think it's more likely than
our affidavit?
No, what I'm saying is this. If you were to
walk
in
the purpose of the court,
to a sheriff's office.
I'm not doing that. We're filing it. We're not
okay.
Walking into the sheriff. It's a permanent
okay.
Historical document when we file it. The sheriff gets a copy.
Okay.
All the perpetrators are served, and it's filed in the clerk's office. The auditor, the sheriff, and the county commissioners all get a copy on the very first day. And the perpetrator are required to answer the affidavits. When they don't answer on the 14 days, they're in default. And the second notice goes also gets served on the sheriff, the county commissioner, and the auditor and the perpetrators to say you failed to answer the first notice of liability. So we're giving you the second opportunity. And if you fail to answer this one, the third opportunity will be a summons to the county commissioner for a show cause hearing to find out why will you remain in position of privilege to serve in bad behavior.
I mean, I'm with you 100%. You know that, right? I'm not telling you no. And I'm not telling you yes, and I'm not giving you any sort of like, well, because you're not asking me what do you think is going to happen. So I wouldn't tell you. But if you ask me what I think will happen, is that they're going to retaliate against you.
So can you tell me the purpose of the legal system?
Can I tell you the purpose of the legal system? That's a philosophical question. That's a question of philosophy. That's a philosophical question. It's a philosophy. What is the purpose of religion? What is the purpose of law? What is the purpose of government? What is the purpose of us being? You know, that's philosophy. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, there's a philosophy that goes along with it, but the court is there to perform justice as an impartial public forum so that disputes can be resolved and people can be made whole again.
I'm in full agreement with you. I don't disagree. We don't have any disagreement. You know, you're saying that you want to, as you put it, Borg up the notice of liability. And I'm stating, well, that's wonderful. Let's do that. I'm just stating that there might be some holes in the theory. Possibly.
So what do you in think? The Borg, when due process is denied, what is denied?
Well, I agree with you. There, all of these cases that you've talked to, I mean, every one of the people that you've talked to and you've worked with and you've, you know, done the Declaration of Truth, well, absolutely. Like when Rebecca went into court, she had both the truth and a lie. Now, the lie was easily defined as trial ready, no alleged social worker existed. Simple. It was a very simple lie. And the truth was that, well, there was a natural person doctrine that was presented. Now,
Wait a second. Let's back up just a little bit. The fact was, in Rebecca's world, there was a caseworker who stole her three children, and then they adopted them out because she didn't know how to protect them from the legal system. So there was a CPS agent that did take the children, but there wasn't one that was accusing her at that moment.
Now, this was the lie that I told her. I said, look, it is highly likely that the prince was contacted by a social worker who told the prince to do this. However, the social worker, being devious and dastardly, chose to conceal his identity. Now, the prince filed said action and concealed the identity of the social worker for the protection of the social worker. Now, the lie that I told Rebecca to tell was trial ready. No alleged social worker exists. Now, a judge would completely understand this. You don't have to put any English words around it. The statement is, no alleged social worker exists. Go to trial immediately. And that's exactly what the judge did. He went to trial immediately because he asked the prince, who is the alleged social worker? And the prince said, I don't know. Now, that's not a truth. He lied in court. He knows who the social worker was. He said he talked to the social worker. There was an implied statement. If you were to look in terms of evidence code 201, fact and evidence, fact by the prince himself, he said a social worker told me so. Now, he knows who the social worker is, but when asked by the judge, there was an inconsistency, a rule 601, competency to testify, that he was not able to produce upon inquiry said social worker. Therefore, Rebecca says trial ready. He's ready for trial at that point too. The judge cannot walk away from trial at that point. So he said, we're going to trial now. Bring your social worker or else. That's it. It was a very simple case. When you look at Rebecca's paperwork, there was a school. Rebecca stated there was no social worker. He stated on his petition that he stated a CPS worker called and told him I was unstable and searching Rossford for my children. I cross-examined him and asked him who the social worker name. He couldn't give me or the judge the name when I cross-examined him and asked what the name of the social worker. I could not ask for a trial. I was going to trial anyway. No, had he found the social worker, most likely the judge would have given opportunity for the social worker to arrive. At that point, the social worker would be subject to an unsworn declaration under penalty of perjury, 1746, meaning that he would make a declaration under penalty of perjury. And most likely, this would subject him to criminal liability, because this is a criminal case. And I told Rebecca that the allegations that were raised was civil stalking, which is a criminal and a civil misdemeanor. It's a criminal misdemeanor and a civil misdemeanor. Like in Florida and Texas, they have criminal and civil statutes along this line. You could use both the criminal and the civil. Now, he didn't use any statute, so you could use that to assume that it was a criminal statute, and then thereby gaining Brady disclosure violation and parallel construction in a criminal case. Thereby, you have no reason to say one word. You have the Fifth Amendment stating that you don't need to provide any information whatsoever other than that you have criminal discovery. When you hit criminal discovery, you hit the jackpot, because at that point, there any civil action has to stop. Now, had Rebecca continued with this process, there would have been civil liabilities from the criminal action that he filed. Because he lost in a criminal action, there would be civil liability. That was the next step, but she did not go that route. And next question, please.
Due process. What is due process?
Due process. Now, Rebecca commented here. She said, I also asked him, has he ever seen me in his property as were filed in the police report stating he had seen on his property and also stated no. So why did he lie? Well, he lied because he lied. People lie in court. It's natural. But why did he lie? Well, people lie in court. And said in his petition and filed police reports, criminal action, and stated he never seen me on the property, he lies and commits perjury. So now he not only said that he had a social worker, but also perjured himself, stating that he did see her on the property. So he committed two acts of perjury. That's the rule 1720. When I cross-examined him on the stand, under oath, he backed down. I knew he was going to back down. You could tell from the paperwork that, number one, they were concealing the social worker for some reason. You could only assume one thing, that under oath, they don't want to make statements against Rebecca because they're committing perjury. The social worker, if we had found the social worker, would lose their job. But the prince didn't give them up. Now, the prince has an opportunity to throw the social worker under a bus so he doesn't have to face civil liability from his false allegation, which was ruled against. So there was judicial estoppel. So she could request penalties against the prince. She did not take step two. Had Rebecca taken step two and just followed the procedure, we would be suing the prince for civil damage based on the criminal allegation which failed prima facie.
That would have been Borg formula, right?
That would be strictly Borg formula. See, there was no words in there. You're just following the process. And by the way, that process has complete standing. Rebecca writes, police reports were from 2015 to 2019, over a four-year period. Police reports I never knew about. She now knew about them. So now gives her more new evidence that she could use in a civil action against the prince. The prince is wide open. Remember, there are two games that are played in court. One is called keep away, where the lawyers keep away the red marble. And the other one is like dodgeball, where they all get in a circle and throw balls at you, which is a material misrepresentation made by the prince. In the game of dodgeball, when you catch the material misrepresentation, they go in and you throw the ball at them. Now, at this point in time, the prince threw a material misrepresentation and Rebecca caught it. So Rebecca goes out and then she throws the ball at the prince. Now, she could take that if she wanted to, but she didn't. Now, she stated here, that's why I asked him, has he ever seen me on the property? No, he never saw her on the property because that would be a material misrepresentation. She wasn't on the property. She knew the answer to that question. And when he couldn't answer the question because he brought the issue in, it was his own statement saying, I saw her and the social worker told me. So therefore, I saw her, the social worker told me, let's do all these bad things to Rebecca. Now, had Rebecca just stood there like a, you know, deer in the headlights, that would have probably gone badly for her. But Rebecca used the natural person doctrine and she attacked the sovereignty of the judge. And the judge knew that she sort of knew what she was doing. She knew she had backing. He knew that there was something here, and he didn't want to tangle in this thorny briar patch of criminal discovery because he knows she was able to instill in him some knowledge, some Borg kindergarten rules. Okay, and she also says things of statement on his petition to the CPS worker. He has seen me on his property to police reports. Everything is a lie and perjury. She called a lie, and she said, Your Honor, these are two material misrepresentations. Each one is actionable in and of itself. The judge made a call at that point. He knew that there were two material misrepresentations that are critical. They're not circumstantial. They're critical. They're direct. They're proximate. These are the basis for him asking for the restraining order. If these are not true, then she committed a perjury. In order to save him from perjury, he took it to trial immediately and dismissed it. He gave him 5 minutes to come up with a social worker. If no social worker existed, then he's toast. At that point, he knows that the prince has civil liability. Rebecca should have taken that civil liability and filed it in the court and said, you know, this is a action. He lost. I won. So I want punitive damages. I want to take this action further, and I'm taking it to civil liability. I want the court to place an order stating that I have the right to civil liability now that he is lost. Now, this is called an aggressive defense.
So will you write the board's formula for him to be accused so he can give her children back?
Well, you know, this was an action where the prince filed a statement against Rebecca, who I would have considered Linus at the time, and because there was a Linus and a Lucy. Linus would have stuck to the Borg formula, and Lucy would go into the Sherwood Forest as Robin Hood and claim, you know, natural person doctrine and what corporation do you work with. But I'm stating, you're asking, would this have gotten Rebecca, her children back? Well, you know, this is number one, the subject matter jurisdiction is a temporary restraining order by the prince against Rebecca for allegedly coming on her property and allegedly a social worker making a declaration against her. This had nothing to do in any way. This judge had no jurisdiction over the children. He had jurisdiction over the two parties, the prince and Rebecca, and that's it. End. Next question. Okay, Rebecca writes, he stated under oath that he never seen me. Therefore, he committed perjury right there. That's if he didn't see you on the property, then he committed perjury. Rebecca writes, when I cross-examined him under oath, he got caught lying. Well, yeah, you caught him in two direct and proximate material misrepresentation. The first was he said he saw you. I saw, it was like a handwritten, it looked like he wrote it on a piece of toilet paper with a crayon. I mean, it was the most, you know, ridiculous piece of document I've ever seen. You know, I don't know where he got his Borg formula, but he needs to improve his Borg formula. And he stated there's a social worker and he saw her on the property. So two material misrepresentations right there. So he got caught lying.
So now he's a criminal and
there
he should not have her children.
There was perjury. And Rebecca continues, and asking the judge one question, what corporation does he work for? Well, now that, okay, there's where the line has stopped, where the Borg formula, and the natural person entered, Lucy Van Pelt, when she's basically told the judge, what corporation does he work for? Now, that's a natural person doctrine. In my opinion, that's what I would call it. And the other thing is, it really doesn't have anything to do with the case. It has to do with, you know, judicial immunity. And, you know, the judge is not looking to cause any problems. He's trying to resolve that one case. Now, a board would understand the four corners of the pleading. Someone who's natural person thinks that all cases are related to all cases. They're not. That's a belief that's wrong. Now, Rebecca writes, you know, he committed fraud and perjury. I agree. Asking the judge that one question, what corporation does he work for, is how I believe I won. Okay, you believe you won based on that statement, and I believe that it was the Borg formula that won. But that's a difference of opinion, Rebecca, and I believe that we can agree to disagree. Asking the question of the petition the adopted father, the prince, filed was all false and all fraud. I agree. You caught it. You caught two frauds right there. They were obvious frauds that were in the petition. They had nothing to do with Rebecca's statements. I didn't use any of Rebecca's information. I strictly used only the information from the opposing side, which is a Rule 201. It's already admitted. And I also said that there were reasonable people who would testify. That's a competency to testify, Rule 601. And she used hearsay evidence, Rule 806D, so that you can have attacking a witness. Now, I gave her these formulas. I don't know if she put them into the record or not. We'll ask her.
No, I'm asking you. Are you going to use the Borg formula so that that judge knows that that criminal foster parent prince is a criminal and should not have those children? So Rebecca can have her children returned to her.
Well, so your question is, am I going to attempt to use a temporary restraining order to take subject matter jurisdiction over another court's action? Because that's what you're asking.
No, I'm asking you if you will forward Rebecca's case into that criminal case that the foster parent accused her of being a criminal, and he is actually the criminal, so he should not continue to keep possession of her children away from her. He should go to jail, and she should have her children back, according to the Borg formula, right? Lying, that makes him a criminal?
Well, hold on a second. What are you asking me? You're asking me, is there a Borg formula that does exactly what you just said?
I'm asking you to prepare the Borg formula for her children to come home because that foster parent is a criminal. He's been found out, but he's not been filed yet. She needs to file that he's a criminal and should not maintain his custody of those children. It has to be brought to the court before they can see it, though. And it has to be done in your Borg formula, according to you. So will you write her Borg formula so her children can be brought home away from that criminal?
Okay. You may not like my answer. Okay. My answer in statutory form would be, we're talking about two different subject matter jurisdictions. And Manita, Keith, pointed out where. And I said, well, you know, where to forward the criminal complaint? Well, it has to do with subject matter jurisdiction. You know, you have to choose a subject matter jurisdiction prior to filing an action. Subject matter jurisdiction is the most...
The criminal has stolen her children through the CPS and the courts. Who the prosecutor is the CPS, a lawyer, attorney. Since the prosecutor is the CPS attorney, and since they were there to accuse her of being a criminal and she's not, they are a criminal and she should have her children back. True? According to the legal system.
So Rebecca writes, so I had to defend myself to fight back. I agree. You had to defend yourself to fight back. Because I was alone. Well, not necessarily. I think if you use the Borg formula, you can get reasonable people to testify on your behalf and bring in the formula. But you are alone if you think so. But I don't think you're completely alone. And I know a little about how to fight. No, I think you're a total Viking. You know, kind of what I saw was an excellent version of a Viking barbarian. You know, you came in there, you did an awful, awful Lucy, you presented your Lucy Van Pelt, you used the natural person doctrine to its full extent. And I think a judge did take it into account. I agree with you that it did affect the case. That for sure, I do agree. And the judge knew the prince was lying. Yes. The judge had confirmed the prince was lying. I absolutely agree with you. The judge did confirm that the prince was lying. They also thought I was going to go into court thinking I was dumb. Yes. most people who go into court don't understand the Bork formula. You did. You could cross between the two. You were able to implement the Bork formula, and I asked you to get a recording. And I told you, don't tell the bailiff that you were going to record, because it was just for training purposes only. And if he had seen it, just tell him, well, it's for training purposes only. Things go pretty fast, you know. And just leave it at that. And then he would tell you, no, just turn the recorder off. Okay, no problem. But you might have another recorder in your other pocket, you know, so that's fine. Turn off the first recorder and keep the second one on. They thought you were dumb. That works in your advantage. That's called drunk monkey. That was developed by Woodstock. And going to let them do whatever they wanted to do. Yeah, you didn't let that happen. That's, you know, you got your way. Me, nope, not for me, no more. I know it's happened to you before, and I don't think it will happen anymore. Not this time. I agree, not this time. And I think not next time either. I fought for me. I agree, you did fight. But no choice. I fought. I'm not meaning alone without you guys. But alone, them. Yeah, they thought you were alone. But if you tell them you have people, then it helps, because you have Rule 601, competency to testify. There are many people who could testify and know your case to a very good extent. They thought I was going to lose. I agree with you. They had such a crappy petition, they thought you were going to lose just on the basis that they could do whatever they want. They thought I was going to lose. I fought back something they didn't think I was going to have. I agree with that. Kathleen writes, did you assure Rebecca that you will Bork her formula up? Well, hold on a second. I gave her the Bork formula. She used it. And then she put some natural. And then I gave her the next Bork formula. She didn't use it, though. So it's up to her. I can't tell her, you know, well, here's what you got to do. You got to maybe talk to Kathleen and give a notice of liability to the prince. Rebecca writes, they thought I was weak. Yeah, that's called drunk monkey. They think you're weak. They write weak petitions because they think you're weak. But little did they know. Right, you have people behind you. I think you have done a lot to learn. I was studying the real law till I had to go to court. True? You studied law and you presented, in my opinion, very well. And now they will not mess with me no more. Now, here's the thing. There's where we disagree. Now, you say, now they will not mess with me no more. Well, hold on a second. They're not done. I mean, I'm going to say yellow. I'm going to disagree with Rebecca on they will not mess with me no more. I'm going to say that, no, they're not done, because she says, well, I'm ready if they want to go for a second round. Now, that's what I would like to hear, because if they want to go for a second round, I will give you a Bork formula. You know, Kathleen Reich, did Ashraf tell you he would write the Bork for you? Well, actually, I did. I provided the Bork formula in text messages, because that's all we had at the time. But now that we have Google Docs and we have, the Facebook page and we have other means of communication, now we have much more. We could go into much greater depths using the Google Docs application. Next question, please. Next question, Kathleen. So, I guess looking at some of these questions here, since someone wants to step in at this point,
what's the authority for the legals to use against the people?
I mean, I see your comment. Yeah, selling tickets, wolf tickets. What do you mean? Can you explain this a little further?
Yeah, the Borg formula needed to be written as a statutory complaint. And Rebecca did the best she could as one of the people to keep herself from having a restraining order, but that didn't complete the process where she has her children back. And the foster parent is obviously a liar. He shouldn't have those children. And there must be some Borg formula that you would be able to write for her, since those codes are so important to them.
Well, I mean, I think you recommended the notice of liability, and Rebecca commented, well, the notice of liability would basically solve that issue for her.
Where's the hole in that theory?
Well, it's not just one hole. There's multiple holes in any theory. I mean, this is an art form. You understand?
Well, art.
It's art.
If you want to say
it's not
art, I'd say American Republic Tribe is A-R-T. That's what the American Republic Tribe is standing on the Constitution, but the Borg doesn't have that. The Borg is the anti-tribe. They are against the people, the Borg, the corporate Borg. They just want as much money as many children as they can get. But the American Republic Tribe requires all of the holes to be closed. So what can the Borg get? How can the Borg weasel out of a notice of liability when we put our affidavits filed in court? And if they can't wiggle out of the notice of liability, then the executive order to freeze the fraud applies on that 30th day when they don't atone or answer the questions from our affidavits with the notice of liability. So what's the Borg formula? How can they wiggle out of that? They can't. Can they? There's no holes, is there?
Well, we discussed holes.
No, you just say there's a bunch of them. Identify them, please.
Well,
that's what we're here for, is to identify.
I'm just saying, identify the holes. Well, I would say, if you're going to identify the holes, then you would need to have that discussion take place in the Google Doc. And you would have to start.
If we're here
first
on the show
all,
so we can identify reasonable minds, so they can be declaratory witnesses for each other, so I can stand for Rebecca and Rebecca can stand for me, and I have my case is going to be going very soon. So I need to know what those holes are that you think they can wiggle out of.
Well, you're asking me what holes exist.
Yes.
And I'm telling you this is an art form. And I'm telling you that it uses the Great Pumpkin, which is a reasonable person declarance using Rule 601, competency to testify. It also uses the 201, which is their evidence, and it also uses 801C, which takes your evidence and makes it hearsay in the beginning and then brings it in as a Rule 806 attacking the declarant. You know,
are you saying
you
if I put
formula,
when I are you saying my affidavit is called hearsay?
No, I'm just saying that the term hearsay applies to some information, you know, in a certain way. I mean, if you look at the formula, now you're not obligated to use moot court rules. I'm not saying that you're obligated to use moot court rules. I'm just saying if you receive the Borg formula, it would have this built into it. I mean, all of that process would be built in. Your evidence would be viewed on the basis that they made a criminal allegation in a parallel construction and a Brady disclosure violation, which resulted in willful suppression, willful blindness, and a blissful ignorance effect, extrinsic fraud, fraud upon the court, which led to a civil rights violation, Rule 1983, because there was a conspiracy, Rule 241, and there was a deprivation of rights under the color of law, Rule 242. I'm just stating that that formula would exist. It would exist. I'm stating that it is the difference between a lawful versus a legal. A lawful would say, that's just a bunch of, you know, baloney. Well, yes, it could be, but it's formula. You could use it. Now, whether you want to introduce the formula or not, now what you're telling me is any person, there's sort of an implied rule here that any person who speaks in the Borg formula is, you know, leading lambs to the slaughter, you know, kind of thing. I think there's some sort of like a concept there among the lawfuls that any person who uses a Borg formula, whether they're in the broken family or outside of the broken family, they are engaged in a wrongful act, that the mere mention of a statute would be a wrongful act. This is a misnomer. I believe that it's a logical fallacy. The rule of law says you have to use it that way. Yeah. Next question. So I think what you're trying to say, Captain, is that you want to use a Borg formula. Now, using the Borg formula is going to require that you know the Borg formula. If you use a Borg formula, you must know it. If you don't use a Borg formula that you don't know, you'll be all right. If you use a Borg formula and you don't know it, it will not produce any benefit or minimal benefit. And next question, Kathleen.
I'm sorry, but I don't know where to go with this. I thought we were getting reasonable minds as declaratory witnesses can stand for each other as the jury. And when we show up with our reasonable mind affidavits, those are not called hearsay, are they? Those are called truth and fact, and those are identified as a court.
I would like to comment. You know, number one, you're saying that if we get reasonable people and we testify for each other, that's going to help us. Now, that's the concept of the great pumpkin. Would you agree with that, Kathleen? So the concept of the great pumpkin is that we are going to get together and testify for each other. That's called the great pumpkin on the show here. I mean, it could be called a jury verdict. It could be called declaratory witnesses. We call it the great pumpkin. It is the idea that we get together in a Lollapalooza and we testify for each other. It gives us merit. That's why you have the people in your case, right? I mean, you're gonna pitch the notice of liability and the executive order in Ohio. And you're going to have, in my opinion, somewhat of a Borg formula. Now, the rule is I couldn't put a Borg formula unless you understood it. Let's say if I understood a Borg formula and I could implement it in your case, but you're the one who's going to implement it, I could not add it unless you could prove that you understood at least 80% of it. You would have to understand, to a green light approval, 80%. If there's no green light approval with a 20% critical omission reserved for later, then couldn't add it in. Stop. Next question, Kathleen.
I think we're not talking circles here. So what?
No,
what
I'm just telling you what the rules are. That's no, all. I'm just.
Okay.
It's not that
tell
I'm
me again.
Disagreeing with.
Tell me again. What is the affidavit? That is a factual statement, not hearsay. Isn't that true? It's filed and sworn to. Start back.
You're
back
asking
for
me.
I lost a little
what
bit.
Was the question again, please, if I may? I just want to parse through.
When we file an affidavit of truth and we're filing it into the permanent record, those are not called hearsay. Those are called statements of truth, right?
Well, no. In law, in the court of law, right? I mean, let's say you file it in a court of law. Well,
let's say there's only one
court
place to file it. There's only one courthouse in every county, and we go into that courthouse. You call it a court of law, and if it's providing due process, okay, it's a court of law. And if it's not providing due process, which means jury trials or a grand jury, then it's not called a court of law. Now it's called a legal court, and they are damaging people and stealing children. So a court of law means we're going in there to be made whole again through the justice system and deliberation. We're not here to be attacked by the legals when we go into a court of law. We're here to be made whole again when we go into a court of law. They're just using their own jargon like you are as a Borg formula to capitalize over the people, not protect and serve. And this is beginning to piss me off. Keep spinning me around in this legal jargon, and we're not talking to reasonable people anymore.
Well, I just want to comment, spinning me around. I don't believe I'm spinning you around. I'm just basically explaining.
Okay, is an affidavit.
Well,
affidavits are truth and fact, or affidavits are hearsay?
Well, I'm going to tell you. The word hearsay, you know, I'm going to use hearsay in accordance with Rule 801C and 806D. So I'm going to use these two particular terms in the Borg formula. And I'm going to say that Rule 601, which is competency to testify, has to be met and the judge has to approve your declaratory witness. You know,
who determines the reasonable mind? Are you saying the judge does, or our peers are reasonable minds?
So let me understand the question. Who determine reasonable declarant?
Yeah.
Rule 601. Now, I translated what you told me because it's not exactly the same terms. But what I did was I used Rule 601 and said, okay, I'm using Rule 601, competency to testify. It has to be addressed to the subject matter. It has to be presented in either an offense or a plaintiff, an offensive by a plaintiff, or a defensive and an affirmative defense by the defendant. Okay? It depends in which side. You know, it's their action against you. Well, you know, their action against you, well, that's their. You're using that statement, how you're using the statement. Like, I'm using their statement, and I'm saying there's an inconsistency, and then I'm saying I have these reasonable people, which the judge has to approve, and then I'm saying that I'm going to use hearsay Rule 801C and 806D in order to attack the witness. So I'm using it differently than you are. I'm using it in accordance with the evidence code. I'm strictly following the evidence code. Now, you don't have to follow the evidence code, and you don't have to understand it either. You don't have to understand it, and you don't have to use it. You can put it in your pleading, and later on, it might come to you, and you might want to understand it. Or, if you choose not to, then you may not be able to effectuate it in court. See, the thing is, you're going to have to do a Woodstock snooker. You're going to have to force the judge to look at the fact that the prince committed a perjury, a 1720. He made a declaration under penalty of perjury, 1746. He committed a perjury, 1720. So therefore, we want to now act on that. It's actionable. Now, in my opinion, it's actionable. Now, you're saying, well, if I use the codes, then I'm spinning you around. No, that's not true. I'm not spinning you around. I'm saying you could understand it or you may not understand it. And either one is okay. You don't have to understand it. But it would be more difficult to effectuate something you don't understand, to implement the Woodstock snooker in court. You wouldn't be able to snooker the judge to prove that, say, yes, he did commit a perjury, and thereby I want civil liability. Now, that was the Borg formula that was given to Rebecca. She used part of it and didn't use the other part, and that's okay. She used the Borg formula and then implemented a natural person doctrine. After that, she never went back into the Borg formula. She stepped out of the Borg formula into the natural person doctrine, which is considered by you, your own definition, to be a lawful practice. I think it's not, there's nothing illegal about it, using the natural person doctrine. It is basically just telling the judge that you believe in the natural person doctrine. If a judge chooses to follow this, that's one thing. If he chooses not to follow this, that's his prerogative. It is his discretion. End. Next question. So, just to comment, that there's a difference between how a lawful would look at things and how a legal would look at things. You want the benefits of the legal without having to spend the time researching the legal concept. And that's one way to look at it. End. Next question. Any further questions or commentary? You know, so what are your thoughts, Kathleen? Anybody want to comment? In my opinion, both formats work, the lawful and the legal. Rebecca showed us that she used the legal format, which is the Borg formula, first, and then she used the lawful. And I think it works out just fine. But there's a difference between lawful and legal. There's definitely a difference between the two. They're not the same. Anybody like to comment? Any takers? So, I guess we could cut the show here. And we have, we'll be back next week. Thank you for your time. And we will summarize from our notes from next week. And we will continue on for next Wednesday. Here we go. And this is a song by Young Prize from Flint, Michigan, from Brandon Lee Letts, called Kidnapped.
Taken with lies, CPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids was kidnapped. Here goes all for the cash, you forced the kids to childbirth. Man, this shit is all bad. My kids was kidnapped. Here goes all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped. Here goes all for the cash, my kids was kidnapped. It was taken with lies.
It started with the way I looked, progressed to how I carried it. They couldn't stand a man like me, could understand what marriage is. Providing for my wife and this the way that I inherited. Mama raising a man who don't know nothing but genetics. How can they just come and take what's mine and I ain't bought a check? Never have a GPS, still my life is stripped away. Fighting for my rights, the parents, I got cancer on my face. See through all your bullshit lies, I be the one you love to hate. Fuck you motherfuckers, I'll be lying, taking people's shit. Breaking up a happy home, cause y'all don't like the way we live. Long as we provide no abuse, then y'all should mind your business. For fucking up my rights to live, you motherfuckers know me. Tired, I can take you motherfucker, I'm a bear with all. Lawyers, they appointed me. Never even took my call. They falsified my court string. Flat out lying at it all. All this shit is covered for, but they ain't gotta follow law.
Kidnapped, they was taken with lies. DTS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash. Of course, the kids in childbirth. Many shit is on bad. My kids were kidnapped. They was taken with lies. DTS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids were kidnapped. It was all for the cash, for the kids, child ring. Man, this shit is all bad, my kids are kidnapped. They was taken with lies, DPS telling stories, trying to ruin our lives. My kids are kidnapped. It was all for the cash, for the kids, child ring. Man, this shit is all bad, my kids are kidnapped.
Come on, tell me, do y'all feel my pain? Watch my wife cry himself to sleep, and I can do a thing. On the verge of losing it, swear I'm about to go insane. Praying that I have the strength to make it through another day. Can't begin to understand all the shit my kids go through. The pain they feel of what they think for real is all they've been through. Snatch away, waking friends and broke me when I heard the news. Rotting in a prison cell, shit that I ain't even do. The fight is real, we won't stop, but all the kids are coming home. Playing games so they ain't know the game, I'm with the king of thrones. Lawyered up, got a pitiful picture, now this shit is on. Need to take my family back and trust me, we don't stand alone. Get you here for everyone, we go with what we're going through. Be a voice for all of y'all, the pain I feel it too. This is for the conversation, pushing hard to make it new. All the tricks, y'all, there's a hope, damn, it's one for you, kid, yeah.
You know, I ain't the only one that's going through this shit. There's a million other people like me in every city, every state. All across this fucking nation. These people are kidnapping our kids. This foster care shit. Man, motherfuckers need to get it together and go up against this shit before it's too late. If it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You guys probably know somebody that's going through this shit, man. Y'all gotta stick together. If we stand together, we can end all this bullshit, man. I'm telling you. Kidnap.
Kidnap.
Thank you for the Rock and Bullwinkle Show, and we'll see you back next Wednesday.